Okay.
I'm anticipating that we're starting with the Enbridge Pipelines cases.
We are.
All right. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Susan Weefald. The North Dakota Public Service Commission is meeting for an informal hearing on three matters this afternoon. It's April 9th, 2008. First, before I go to the cases, I'll start. We're going to start with cases, case number PU06330, Enbridge Pipeline, Trenton to Beaver Lodge Pipeline, Williams County Siting Application, and case number PU06349, Enbridge Pipelines, LLC, Trenton to Beaver Lodge Pipeline, Williams County Siting Application. These two cases together will be the first matter that the commission discusses because it relates to tree plantings and their tree and shrub restoration plan relates to both of these cases. Later in the meeting, we'll take up the case with Consolidated Telecom, case number PU0896, once we're finished with these first cases. I'm Commissioner Susan Weefald. With me at the hearing are my fellow commissioners who will introduce themselves and say if they have any opening comments.
It's Kevin Kramer. Welcome.
Tony Clark. Welcome. Good afternoon.
And then we have with us staff from the commission, Patrick Fahn. All right. And Patrick is the one who's written. Have you written both of the memos, staff memos?
Yes.
On this case. All right. I believe our procedure is that first we go to Enbridge Pipeline for them to go over highlights of their tree and shrub restoration plan for the commission, and so that then we can consider what we wish to do on that matter. Go ahead, Enbridge. Who's going to be representing you, and if you'll identify yourself on this case, these cases?
Well, I'm sorry. This is Chris Benson. I'm with the Environment Department in Superior, Wisconsin. I am the primary environmental contact who managed kind of coordinating the supplemental stuff for the PSC filing. However, I'd like to defer to Jeff McIntoon with Mergent, who is our environmental consultant for this project, as he was the one that prepared the document that we're speaking of today.
All right. So we're going to go first to Jeff Mackens, is that correct?
McIntoon.
Yep, McIntoon.
McIntoon.
Yep, hello. Yes.
All right, thank you.
As Chris mentioned, I'm with Mergent Incorporated, and I put together the tree and shrub restoration plans for both case 06330 and 06349. And just going over the highlights of the plan. We're required as part of the conditions of the PUC's order to replace trees and shrubs that were removed during construction. We're required to replace at a 2-to-1 ratio and coordinate with affected landowners on how we should replace trees and shrubs. The plan describes that we are working or contracting with the Williams County Soil Conservation District in completing the tree and shrub restoration plantings. Right now, Gwenda Freed is the main contact that we've been working with the Soil Conservation District, and she is currently negotiating with landowners on where they would like trees and shrubs replaced on their property and which species of trees and shrubs that they would like replaced. We are trying to select species that are similar in nature to those that were removed, and the Conservation District is working with the North Dakota State Forest Office in determining that the correct species are being selected for replantings. Currently, we're proposing to plant in the spring of 2009. That is due to the site preparation work that is going to need to be conducted during the growing season this year. The Soil Conservation District has stated that land needs to be prepared and cultivated and turned up before they will do any plantings. Those plantings include machine plantings, which I think they're going to utilize for the majority of this project. And I guess that's a brief synopsis of where we're at this point. Chris, do you have have anything you'd like to add?
Not at this point. If there are further questions, I guess I'll field those accordingly.
Sure. In addition, we have in case number 06349, that case number deals with the construction of four pumping stations.
Right.
And the trees and shrubs that were removed as part of that project, what we're proposing right now is to replace those trees in conjunction with case 06330, which is the pipeline construction
sure.
project.
I have just a quick question. Do those pump stations, those are all on land that you already have, so it's not like you'd be mitigating some other landowner's tree or shrub removal. Is that correct?
Chris, I believe the land was some
of
the land.
We purchased the land for those sites.
Okay.
Either within existing stations, is my understanding,
yep.
or the land's been secured.
All right. That's what I thought. Thanks.
Yes.
This is Tony Clark. Do you all have a copy of staff's memo, our staff's memo to us? They don't? Okay.
No.
Okay, I don't know if we can get it to her. Maybe we can just ask the questions directly. But
mm-hmm.
yeah,
we
there were three things that staff said caught its attention, and I wonder if you could just address those. The first was if you could just talk a little bit about Enbridge's proposal to vary from the requirement that replacement trees be 2-year-old saplings.
Sure, we discussed that issue with the Soil Conservation District, and the nursery that they use to obtain their stock I shouldn't speak for the nursery, but they said a lot of the times that the stock that they provide is less than 2 years of age.
That's not what the letter says. From Williams County Soil Conservation District, says most of the stock from Lincoln Oaks is 2 years old.
Yeah, and there are times where the stock that they provide is less than 2 years of age. And in talking with the Conservation District, they felt that stock that is less than 2 years of age does just as well in replacement plantings as stock that is older than 2 years of age, and they felt that it would be suitable to use stock that is less than 2 years of age. So we are requesting your concurrence that it would be suitable to use stock that is less than 2 years of age.
I have a further question on that. I called the Lincoln Oaks Nursery just to get some information mm-hmm. on this. They told me that most of their stock is 2 years old. As it says in the letter from the Williams County Soil Conservation District, there are some varieties that are younger. And they said that they can obtain 2-year-old stock whenever it's needed. So they said it's not a problem that it isn't available. It is they can get 2-year-old plants of all species that are available. And it says in the letter that we order our evergreens from Towner Nursery and their stock is 2 years old. So if we were to agree to this variation, I would want to make sure that we're getting 2-year-old saplings, at least 2-year-old saplings where they're available, and that we are not going to 1-year-old saplings where there's 2-year-old saplings that are available, because the commission has a 2-year-old sapling is a little bigger, and in some cases much bigger than a 1-year-old sapling, and yet we've been told when we've gone to the Forest Service, who's approved that guideline of a 2-year-old sapling, that that's certainly a sapling that transplants very well and is able to live in North Dakota. And we're cutting down full-grown trees, and so I don't think that the requirement for 2-year-old saplings is an onerous requirement.
Just out of curiosity, why request the variance at all?
We were just, if stock wasn't available at the 2-year age, we were just we wanted a contingency if the stock wasn't available.
I had a question about a line in the a sentence in the Williams County Soil Conservation District letter that doesn't seem to make any sense to me, but maybe somebody else can add some context to it. It's about, I suppose, three-quarters of the way through the first paragraph. There are varieties that are younger. And this is a sentence that I'm not sure I understand. The nurseryman told me that smaller plants tend to have better chances of survival and adaptability to the elements of the plantings. Was, when I read that one way, I thought, well, maybe they're making a claim that it actually, they may survive better if you plant them younger, say at 1 year than two. Or is that not what that's saying? Or
I understood it. I, if I may speak just for a moment, Chris Benson, in our discussions with, I thought it was back, and this is from memory, so that, you know, may suffer a little bit. But I do believe that the way you read that and interpreted it is the way I understood it, that biologically the younger trees, not very young, but about a 1 year, have a better success rate than a 2 year, which has been acclimated to different situations. So that's what I thought, why we were requesting the variation.
Well, certainly the rate of success is paramount for sure. But Commissioner Wiefald's point, I think, is an important one too. That we are cutting down full-grown trees and replacing them, you know. So maybe size matters the first year or something. But certainly the balance between a success rate and you know, and maturity, it should be sought.
Enbridge's position is, and I'm representing that, sure. Chris Benson here. That whatever is going to achieve the greatest success is really what we want to be planting based on the particular location. And it's immaterial whether it's 2 years or 1 year. We're not trying to make that adjustment for cost issues. I just understood it to be that was what was available. And according, we're deferring to the local conservation district for their recommendations. So that's what I thought we were doing. I'm not holding out for 1 or 2 years. Sure. I want to do what will achieve the greatest level of success.
Sure, and I would tend to defer to the local soil conservation district, too. I mean, they will know what works best in that area. So maybe there's a way that we could word this where it wouldn't necessarily be a blanket
I think so,
waiver, but somehow give deference to how Williams County wants to plant.
It is not the Soil Conservation District that's saying that smaller plants tend to have a greater chance of survival. It's the nurseryman, right. All right? The Soil Conservation District is saying shrub replacement shall be, you know, most of our stock from Lincoln Oaks, who supplies all our deciduous trees, is 2 years old. So most of it is available at 2 years old. Also, all their evergreens stock is available at 2 years old. All right, so there's no problem in getting this. There should be very few, if any, you know, that have to be purchased at 1 year plants. So however we word this, I don't want to give the blanket that they can order all 1 year plants because they're a lot cheaper. I can tell you that we all know from buying trees that you can buy a 5-year-old tree and it costs more than a 1-year-old slip. And so we have had this in place for years, and it's been approved by the North Dakota Forest Service that 2-year-old trees are, you know, successfully transplanted and do well in North Dakota. And so I'm fine with approving a very limited language for this, but I don't know what they're asking for. What did their language specifically ask for, Pat?
It's on page 5 of the plan, second paragraph. It states that stock less than 2 years of age may be planted.
See, so that would just give a blanket. They could plant all 1-year-old or even less than that if they wanted. So that's where I have a little trouble with that language. And so I hope we could, maybe staff can help us think up a sentence that could be put in here that would.
Okay, I guess I'm thinking ahead a little bit to Well, if when the commission approves a plan, they do it by motion. So we could word the motion in a way that says we approve this plan,
sure, mm-hmm,
except with the condition that,
mm-hmm,
and then we can have the language in there that is comfortable for the commissioners.
Okay.
Sure. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
If we're ready to move on to the second one.
Sure.
Yes.
The second observation was Enbridge's request to include natural revegetation within the entire construction right-of-way when determining survival rates and successive plantings. The revised plan includes language to clarify that for Wolfberry only, natural revegetation within the construction workspace will be used to determine the survival success rates. Could you discuss that?
Yes. We put that in there. If you take a look at the table one in the plan that documents the quantity and type of species that were removed, you can see that there's quite a bit of wolfberry shrub that was removed as part of the project. And some of the inspection reports that we received towards the tail end of the project and on the final restoration effort of the construction right away, the environmental inspectors were documenting that they had seen some shrubberies coming back on the right away, and so there is some natural revegetation that is occurring out there on the right away. And we thought for wolfberry, since it there was so much of it removed, that we would consider the natural success and revegetation of wolfberry that's occurring in a right of way as part of the survival rate success. We would still replace wolfberry that is removed at the 2-to-1 ratio. So looking at the table there, we would replace about 18,300 some species of wolfberry. But as we do our follow-up monitoring efforts to gauge the success of the restoration effort, we would consider using wolfberry that is revegetating naturally on the right-of-way as part of a success rate in case there was some loss on our restoration plantings.
Can you tell me what wolfberry is? I have to admit I'm not familiar with that one, but because I planted most.
Oh, is it also okay. called silverberry?
I was going to say I planted most of these species unsuccessfully at my house.
And it's about six foot in height. It grows, and I understand it's a relative of the Russian olive.
Oh gosh.
A relative, not the same as. It's a native plant.
Silverberry,
it's a native plant.
Yeah, if it's that prodigious, maybe I had to put a little out on.
Yeah. Now,
can't you even grow Russian olive?
Yeah, we've got one.
Okay.
So in the ditch.
So this is 9,000 of the plants are wolfberry out of 10,652,
yeah.
624, right?
Yeah, it was generally when wolfberry was encountered out there, it was between 2 and 3 feet high and quite prolific in areas. For instance, some of the tracts in which it was removed, there was a high number of species per area.
Is it considered a noxious weed by some in biology?
No, I don't believe okay. so.
Would you, when you have your right-of-way, this talks about the construction right-of-way, when the revised plan that for wolfberry only natural vegetation within the construction workplace. So that's not going to be your 50-foot right-of-way that you keep cleared all the time for maintenance of the pipeline?
It would include the 50-foot area.
So are you going to be mowing it down every year?
I talked to Brent. Is it Brent Horton, Chris?
Yes.
From the Minot office about this a little bit, and he says that they very rarely, if ever, maintain the right-of-way out there because there isn't really isn't much to maintain through North Dakota, especially through Williams County. And
Not a lot of trees, in other words.
Yeah, there's not a lot of trees, and where they would possibly do maintenance would maybe be maybe in some riparian areas along water bodies, but he said the chances are that they wouldn't maintain the pipeline right away.
That being said, that they wouldn't be routinely brushing because
right.
I'm assuming that they can do visual inspections, aerial inspections, as required by the DOT by just flying over because there's no trees to obscure the corridor.
I just wanted to know that because if they're mowing it every year, it doesn't do much good to be counting those shrubs.
No, they're not
allowed to grow.
No, I agree. We wouldn't consider including that area if they were doing right-of-way maintenance.
And shrubs are usually considered not enough to obscure from
sure.
a visual perspective.
Yeah, though. I think this is, personally, I think this is fine, too.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm okay with this one. Yes, Pat.
I just would like, I guess, Jeff to go over the last paragraph on page 5. Just read, like, explain or read the sentences that talk about how you're going to monitor the survival rates there regarding the wolfberry versus the other species.
Yes, the Soil Conservation District is going to be heading up the monitoring effort for the restoration project. They're going to go out for 3 consecutive years after the plantings and look at the planting areas and calculate the survival rate of the plantings. They would, for instance, in some properties we may be planting wolfberry shrubs or a similar species to replace wolfberry. There may be choke cherry or other species that may be planted. And I believe when we're calculating the success rate of wolfberry, we would only be looking at wolfberry itself to determine the 75%. Survival.
Okay, so that's good because then let's say of the other 1,000 trees that are planted, we could still expect that 75% of those would be growing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I understood. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good clarification.
Yep, and there, you know, maybe, unfortunately there could be a one species that's planted that just doesn't do well and it none of it survives, so we want to replace that species and mm-hmm. other species that do well, we want to, figure their survival rates separately from
sure.
from others.
Is that clear enough in here, Pat?
Yes, that was actually an amendment to the plan. They filed an amended plan recently,
okay.
and
right.
that was one of
last
the amendments.
Week.
Chris, okay. is that what you're thinking also?
I guess so, yeah.
And then the woodberry is counted track by track, whereas the rest is sort of at large. Is that correct as well?
I believe we're
or is it more specific?
I believe we're
Well, that's why I'm wondering whether the language in replacement monitoring on page 5 clarifies what we just heard, that it would be 75% of that the woodberry will be calculated and then 75% of the other tree success rate. Is that clear enough in here, Pat?
Well, here's what I'm seeing, and it's a little bit more than what I thought we had visited about on our phone call before.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is that Enbridge will only include natural revegetation of wolfberry on the tract where wolfberry is being replaced. For example, if wolfberry replacement plantings are conducted on tract 63, then only natural revegetation on track 63 will be utilized to determine planting success rates. Here's the part that seems more specific than we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for all other replacement plantings, survival success rates will be determined by monitoring replacement plantings only on a species-by-species basis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wasn't necessary as far as I was concerned, but you guys... You added that. And so is that what you wanted?
Well, that's just to clarify that we're calculating success rates for other species separately than for wolfberry, because for wolfberry we're using the natural revegetation that's occurring on the right-of-way.
And only in that case of that species, because the way I understand it is for wolfberry, because it's successfully naturally regenerating, that we're asking to be allowed to include that in our replacement as a 2-to-1, but the other replacements are going to be
separate.
For all the other replacement plantings, we're going to look at their survival success rates only for the replanted ones, not if they regenerate.
Right. Yeah, we were focused on the species versus species element as opposed to the plantings versus natural.
Yeah,
and that's where we get. But I understand.
I think we're okay.
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good. Well, that's a good segue into the next one.
Yeah.
which is Enbridge indicates that Williams County Soil Conservation District will work with the North Dakota Forest Service on the requirement that the trees and shrub species be "quote unquote" the same or similar species suitable for North Dakota growing conditions as recommended by the North Dakota Forest Service. The revised plan includes language to clarify that concurrence from the North Dakota State Forester is required for all planting sites prior to commencing planting operations, and that the forester's concurrence will be provided to the PSC. I don't know that we have a concern about it. It was just something that caught our eye. Is that right, Pat?
Well, our order states that the plantings would be in accordance with North Dakota State Forester.
Okay. And so now that seems to meet that.
This is what we came up with to meet that condition.
I think this looks good.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you for your work on that, Pat, and Enbridge. Mm-hmm. All right, and then basically there's no questions about 349 because that's just saying that the same plan will be used for 349 as 330, right?
And that it'll be applied to 330. I think the mitigation is what was different.
You can't plant them.
Because you can't plant them at the point of the pump station, so it'll be part of the other. And I think I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine.
Yeah. Only 64 trees or something like that.
Yeah, it's not many anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have any further questions as portfolio holder?
I don't have any further questions. I guess if we can get that language for the order or the motion so that we can clarify that, the May point, we can get this up fairly soon.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Yep. Works for me.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Chris and Jeff.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thanks.
And we'll close then the informal hearing on cases PU06330 and PU06349. Okay, then next we go to our informal hearing on case number PU0896, which is Consolidated Telecom Switched Access Price Schedule.
I think we have to get someone on the phone.
All right.
I'm going to hang up now. I think they're already gone.
Yeah, they couldn't get away fast enough.
Where there's lots of trees, you're not used to having to be this specific.
Canadians and folks from Wisconsin, what do you call those? Cheeseheads? They just can't relate to our obsession with trees.
That's right. Prairie.
They're
prairie
just
tree
trees.
JSI, this is
Ann. I'm calling for Jim Howard.
Can I tell him who's calling?
Patrick Fawn at the North Dakota Public Service Commission.
Okay, just a minute, please.
Jim Howard.
Hi, Jim.
Hey,
it's Pat Fawn. I'm going to get Paul online, right?
Okay.
Still got to do that. Hang on.
Paul Schetzler.
Hi, Mr. Schetzler. This is Patrick Fawn at the Public Service Commission.
Hello, Patrick.
I'm going to get Jim Howard online with us.
Right.
Okay. Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
Paul?
I am here.
All right, now then, this is Commissioner Susan Wefald, and we're ready to proceed with Consolidated Telecom Switched Access Price Schedule, case number PU0896. With me are my fellow commissioners, Commissioner Kramer and Commissioner Clark. First, I'll go to Commissioner Clark, who holds the portfolio on this matter.
Just good afternoon, gentlemen. Look forward to chatting with you a little bit about the switched access tariff.
And good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right. Generally, what we do is we ask the company to explain their proposal, hit the highlights of it for the commission, and then we'll go to questions from the staff and the commission. Thank you.
Good enough. I will defer to Jim. Jim, do you want to jump on? This is Paul.
Yeah, I'll do this. What we're doing here was to file some adjustments and modifications to the tariff that the company, Consolidated Telecom, had on file due to the commission docket that was before with the SmartNet case. And at that time, it was we wanted to properly reflect that our tariffs did offer another company to come in and have their choice of feature group services, whether it's A, B, C, or D, and to make sure that our tariff was clear that the rate that was charged for those feature groups was the same for each feature group. There was no difference between the rates. And then we also wanted to make sure that we put in language that clarified the definition of each one of those services, and also made changes to reflect that how the jurisdictional splits would be calculated if the company ordered the service that then included in their order, and then what jurisdictional reports would be required, and what kind of dispute mechanism would be there in case there were differences of opinion on that. So basically, that's what we were just trying to do, is do some clarifications there. So what we did is, originally we filed way back when Consolidated was actually had two tariffs on file. One was called Consolidated Telephone Cooperative, and the other one was CTC Communications, Inc. And when we did this filing, then we, or since that time, those two companies have combined and formed the company of Consolidated Telecom. And so what we did was try to also show that combination change in this filing. So if we, I don't know if you have the pages there in front of you.
We do.
Mm-hmm. What we did was, we originally had started, we only had, on the Intralata side, we had basically a one-page tariff definition sheet, and then we had rate sheets filed for each company, and we mirrored the old Quest tariffs that related back to some cases. I think it was case number 10644 and 10699 back in 1984 and 1986. And so what we did on one of the pages, the first page on the rate sheet, what we did is put a footnote, added a footnote at the bottom of that, saying that this isn't the only sheet. We actually have some backup sheets in those mirrored tariffs. And then what we did then is supplied new tariff rate sheets, price schedules, that reflected that they were both under the Consolidated Telecom. Now we put in a separate sheet for the separate exchanges, the exchange that used to be known as Consolidated Telephone Cooperative, and then a sheet for the CTC communication exchanges to show that what their rates would be, and show that they do have different rates.
Mr. Howard?
Yes.
This is Patrick Fun. I just wanted to mention that what the commissioners have before them now is the summary that you filed first, summary of the changes. They don't have the whole tariff in front of them.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just going through the summary sheets.
Yeah.
I have a basic question for staff. This is an essential service, and that's why we approve the tariff.
This is an essential service, and the reason we approve the tariff is because this company has elected commission jurisdiction on access rates.
All right, I was curious because we have not seen a whole bunch of these right. from all the other companies come in before the commission, and so I was trying to distinguish why this company's tariff would come before us when this affected many companies here.
When you say elected, do you mean that they're non-price cap?
For this service, they're not price cap. For all their other services, they fall under either the co-op small
right,
company
right,
exemption
yeah.
from our regulation.
Mm-hmm. This caused me to think back. I haven't had to think about this phone stuff for a while.
I know.
On the switched access, though, do co-ops elect to be regulated or not?
Yes.
Or do they just elect whether to be price capped or whether to be rate of return?
They elect whether to be rate of return.
And this
they can't
relates-
choose.
Well,
they can't choose to not have switched access be regulated.
They can choose to have switched access under price cap, but they're a small company. They're a co-op in this case,
right?
So none of their services are subject to any commission rule or action.
None of their retail rates. Or
this is Jim Howard. Under the access, a company could elect in any year to be either regulated or price cap.
Right.
And up to this point, Consolidated is elected to be regulated.
Well, and that's how I understood it, but when I first heard Pat speak, I thought I heard you say that they've chosen to be regulated. I mean, maybe I was kind of misinterpreting that a little bit. I mean, they don't have a choice to have switched access be completely unregulated. They either have to choose to be price cap or rate of return. Is that correct?
Right. Right.
Okay.
But we only have jurisdiction over those who have chosen not to be price capped and to be under rate of return. Is that correct?
Well, we still have, they can't go over their price cap. I mean, we could.
I guess that's a legislative type of oversight if they're price capped.
Right. Although if there was a complaint that they had broken the price
right.
cap, it would come to us.
Right.
How do we determine whether, if this relates at all to rate of return, how do we use the information that's here to determine whether this will give a reasonable rate of return?
Well, this again, Jim Howard here. We're not filing for any rate changes
right.
here.
That's right.
So all we're doing is filing clarification language.
You're just applying what you've always had, but specifying that it also applies to feature group A, right?
Right. We're just trying to clarify what was in that order that you had for SmartNet, saying
yeah.
that it was unclear in our tariff filings what rate applied to feature group A, B, C, and D, and then what if you could actually have feature group A, B, C, and D. So we're just putting clarifying language so that anybody else that came in and ordered that service would know what the rules were.
Mm-hmm. Are there, I can ask Pat this or Jim if you're able to divulge it, are we expecting a number of other tariff changes from other companies, and we've got other rate of return.
Right. I mean, this one was specific to this case because it was brought about because of the SmartNet case. So
yeah.
we were filing this one first, and then I would assume that as soon as we get this one done, we'll file for the other company that was in that case, which was Beck.
Yeah.
Yes.
And well, there's a whole group of them.
That one done, we'll just kind of go down the line.
Sure. Okay.
At least with the JSI clients.
Right. Well, you've got most of them, don't you?
Right. Well, we have most of the clients, yeah. Companies.
Did we have any time suggested timeline in that case that companies would file these tariff revisions with the commission?
No, we didn't.
Mm.
It's the only one who's disadvantaged are them if they don't file.
Right. They wouldn't be able to charge a company like SmartNet if they didn't have a tariff
in place. Okay. Up until the time that these are put in place, the company. What happens to the company? They don't have a tariff. I would think that it doesn't disadvantage the other company if they don't have a tariff.
doesn't disadvantage SmartNet. It only disadvantages themselves because, I mean, what our order stated was that in theory, they have the right to charge intrastate access to SmartNet, but the tariffs weren't written in such a way to allow it.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We had the tariffs on file. They just, in your opinion, they weren't clear enough so that
they pertained
that a customer coming in would be able to understand what rules applied to them.
Okay.
But that's all we did was put in clarifying language here to take care of that.
Yeah. SmartNet wanted us just to say that it didn't apply at all.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Pat, do you have any questions?
No.
Your memo. The memo from staff indicates approve. Do commissioners have any further questions about this matter?
I don't either.
And so, again, Commissioner Clark, this is in your portfolio. You anticipate this would be perhaps on the next meeting agenda?
I think we can probably put it on the next meeting agenda, unless Pat sees some reason we can't. But
should be fine.
Okay.
All right. That being, as there's no further questions, then we'll close the informal hearing on case number PU0896. Thank you. I don't know if we identified for the record. Did we tell everybody who was at this hearing?
No.
We have the three? I don't think we did. So just let's right now. Commissioner Susan Wefall, Commissioner Clark, Commissioner Kramer were at this hearing. Staff, Patrick Fahn, we had one guest sitting in, and we have two people on the phone who participated. And give your names, please.
James Howard with John Starlakis Incorporated.
And Paul Schetzler with Consolidated Telcom.
All right. Thank you very much. And now we will end the hearing on case number PU0896.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay. We haven't had a telephone one in...